Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Since it's part of our gospel, as I'll explain in a moment, let's talk for a moment this morning about vocation. Vocation is a very practical doctrine in Scripture that the Lutheran Church has always emphasized as the thing that defines the Christian life on earth. What are you here for? What are you supposed to do in your daily life? How are you to serve God? How are you to serve your neighbor? The answers to those questions are all found, at least in a general way, in a person's various vocations. Vocation, as we've talked about before, literally means calling. Your calling in life, or your callings. The roles you've been given to play, mother, father, son, daughter, husband, wife, hearer of God's word, preacher of God's word, student, teacher, subject, citizen, ruler, neighbor, employer, employee, and every godly occupation that exists for the good of society. These are all vocations, if you will. A person will have several of them at once, and they will change throughout a person's life. Today in our gospel, we encounter three of Jesus' early disciples dutifully fulfilling their vocation as fishermen, Peter, James, and John. Now, in addition to the ordinary usefulness of that particular vocation, providing food for their community, a glorious, God-pleasing thing, Jesus found another use for their vocation in today's gospel. They had spent the night working hard at their task without anything to show for it either. They were now on the shore, as our gospel begins, mending their nets, another menial task, but an important one that was, again, being faithful to their vocation. Then along comes Jesus, who meets them in the course of fulfilling their vocation and turns it into a tool, into an opportunity for extending His own kingdom. The point in today's gospel is that God uses Christians in their vocations, not only to preserve and prosper society, but also to spread His gospel. Vocation is like the boat from which the gospel nets are cast or let down. Peter, James, and John already knew Jesus by this point in Luke chapter 5. They had already become part-time disciples of Jesus, Christians, if you will. But they hadn't yet been called to follow Him full-time. They hadn't yet been called to stop being fishermen in that vocation. They had been called by the gospel to believe in Jesus, placing them at once into the vocation of being hearers of the word, as all of us are too. As we said, they already had the vocation of fishermen. Now, how did they come by that vocation? Well, it wasn't by God somehow weighing down their hearts when they were young men or children, showing them with some miraculous sign that that's what they should do. They should be fishermen. It wasn't anything like that. It came naturally, so to speak. Zebedee, James and John's father, was a fisherman. And all these men grew up in Galilee, near the Sea of Galilee. Peter's father may also have been a fisherman. That we don't know. But it was a very natural choice for them to choose to be fishermen, to choose that vocation. And yet God was behind the scenes governing things. He had a plan for these men and their vocation that they couldn't have known anything about until Jesus came along. And He found them on shore, mending their nets, and got into Simon's boat, and ask him to put out a little bit from shore. And there Jesus sat in Peter's boat, preaching to the crowds along the shoreline, teaching them about God, about their sin, about God's free favor, about the salvation that God was accomplishing for them, calling them by the gospel to believe. At this point, the fishermen, too, were simple hearers of the word. They weren't the ones doing the preaching from their vocation. They simply offered their vocation to Jesus to use as he pleased. And their boat became his pulpit. But when he finished preaching to the crowds, he wasn't done using their vocation yet. He had more lessons for them and also for us. He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now, according to their vocation as experienced fishermen, they knew this didn't really make any sense, especially after spending the whole night on the deep, not catching anything. And yet Peter was willing to have his vocation guided by Jesus. So they let down their nets, and you know what happened next. They caught a lot of fish. So many that two fishing boats were filled up and started to sink for the weight of them. Simon knew, according to his vocation, that this was no ordinary catch. Jesus had guided the fish through the water and the boat through the sea and the fish into the net for this miraculous catch of fish, teaching them their first lesson out on the water. Jesus is the Lord of creation. He rules over the earth and guides and governs the events of history in order to carry out his own purposes. And that knowledge brought Simon Peter to his knees in terror. Now, you might think it would be cool to stand there and watch Jesus perform a miracle like this. But Simon, who was there to see it, knew better. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, Simon Peter wasn't a murderer. He wasn't a drunk. He wasn't a thief. And if he compared himself to other people, to other men of Israel at that time, he would be counted as a good man, as a decent man. But when he now compared himself to the Lord of creation himself standing there in his boat, it was a different story. He knew the truth. As the psalm says, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" Answer, no one. Our track record of iniquities, of sins, is long, and that can be said by everyone who has ever lived, except for Jesus himself. It includes the selfish deeds, the harsh words, the self-centered thoughts. It includes laziness and being slow to carry out the responsibilities you've been given in your many vocations, because those vocations were given to you by God for you to be faithful in them, not sluggish, not slow, to serve him and your neighbor tirelessly, not to serve your own desires and cravings. So Simon was right to acknowledge his sinfulness before God's holy law. He can't stand before the Lord of creation if he's to be judged by his deeds. But the second lesson Jesus taught out there on the water was all important. Instead of departing from Simon, as Simon begged him to do, Jesus revealed his grace. "Do not be afraid." That's a lesson in God's mercy toward sinners. He promises mercy and forgiveness. Not because we aren't sinners, not because we're worthy of His favor, but because of Jesus' worthiness, because of Jesus' life and suffering and death on the cross. The same gospel that Jesus had proclaimed in general to the crowds on the shoreline, He now applied personally to Simon right there in the boat, just as all ministers personally, individually apply to those to whom they have been given charge. And then a final lesson was taught that day. From now on, you will catch men. That was a special call that Jesus gave, not to everyone who happened to be in Galilee that day, but to those three disciples, Simon, Peter, James, and John. As it says, when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him. In other words, Jesus had called them at this point to leave behind their vocation as fishermen in order to become fishermen of another kind. Fishermen like you heard about in Jeremiah's prophecy this morning, where God promised to send them out to bring in, to catch, to hunt for the lost children of Israel, not only biologically of Israel, but also from among the Gentiles, to join the one Christian church, to become fishers or catchers of men, as Jesus says. This was the call into the office of the holy ministry, the vocation of preacher, which in certain ways is like the vocation of fisherman. The preacher, at Jesus' bidding, goes out into the world and lets down the net of the gospel. And I always like to point out here, it is a net, not a fishing line with a hook and bait. He doesn't set out bait for people. He doesn't seek to lure people in and then catch them with the hook through their mouth. He doesn't try to sell salvation to them or pander to the things they want to hear. He simply lets down the net. The Word of God, and specifically the promise that God is gracious for Christ's sake, that God offers forgiveness to sinners and a new life and an eternal inheritance freely because of Jesus. Believe the good news, he proclaims. And Jesus, working through his Holy Spirit, then gathers men from all nations into that net. Not an impressive number in each and every place, but when taken together as the net that goes throughout the whole world where faithful preachers proclaim the gospel truly and purely, then you add that number up through time and through the globe as that net has gone out, and it's an enormous catch. Those who hold the vocation of preacher, a divine call given at one time directly by God and now given through the call of the church, even as our seminary graduate Josiah this last week was given a divine call through the church to serve the saints in Richmond, Missouri. Those who hold this vocation are called to leave other jobs behind. Although some of us, like St. Paul himself, also continue part-time in other jobs in order to help support themselves, in order to be less of a financial burden on the saints to whom they preach. But there is a lesson here that applies to all, not only to preachers. The kingdom of Christ is filled with people by the preaching of the gospel, and each Christian has some part in that according to his or her vocation. Not all are called to the vocation of preacher, but all are given a role. Some are called to preach, but most are not. All are called to be hearers of the word, and the hearers of the word are called to support the preachers of the word. That's part of your vocation, to support preachers with your weekly attendance, and with your regular offerings. And in the process, you yourselves are being served by God through the means of grace. That's how Christ designed it. Not only that, but as Peter writes in today's epistle, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this. As Christians, that unity of mind, that compassion, that love and tender-heartedness and courtesy are things we are all called on to practice in every vocation to which we're called. And God will use those works of love to serve His kingdom. As Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. What else does Peter say to all Christians? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. No matter what your vocation is, you are called to sanctify or to set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and to be ready to give a defense of the faith, a defense of the hope, which supposedly other people should be able to see in you, in how you lead your life. The hope of a Christian. Not preaching to everyone wherever you go, but the quiet hope of one who knows, no matter what's going on, no matter what afflictions, what troubles, what poverty, what trials come into our lives, you have a God who loves you, not because you're worthy of His love, but because of Jesus. And when they see that hope that is in you, then they will be prompted to ask, what's going on? Why don't you mourn like the rest of the world mourns? Why don't you behave like the rest of the world behaves? And then you can give a defense of your hope. Not a courtroom kind of defense, but a simple one. Parents do that with their children, and sometimes children with their parents. Students do that with their friends, and sometimes with their teachers. Workers do that with co-workers, and sometimes with their employers. Neighbors do it with their fellow neighbors, who are their fellow citizens in the country, passing on the promise of the gospel, inviting others to come and hear Jesus, to come and get to know Jesus through the preacher whom Jesus has sent to stand in the boat and to preach, to let down the gospel net. In all these things, in all these ways, God gives His people opportunities to become His instruments for spreading His gospel, for extending His kingdom. Your vocations are the boat from which the gospel nets are let down. May God grant you wisdom and understanding to see the opportunities He has placed all around you to spread the gospel of Christ. And may He grant you courage and strength to use all of your vocations in the service of His kingdom for the glory of His name. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.